Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Good trot, Rami. KM to AM, a five-hour sports talk show on The Fan in New York. 1 hour down, 4 hours to go. Inside the 8 o'clock hour, I opened up talking about Hard Knocks. I've been impressed so far with three episodes with the insight, the teachings, and what we've been able to learn about Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, John Mara, the New York football Giants, the inner workings of their decision-making, and how they're building their team. I think all of the NFL teams should have to do this, but I know all of them won't. And I know even if they did, they wouldn't be that transparent. I know it's being produced, but I think the Giants are being very transparent with phone calls and conversations and even the, like, floating camera that's, you know, you're seeing what it is. You went through it in March, and now you're getting to see how everything played out. And, man, I give kudos to the Giants for doing it. I know they didn't want to do the preseason one, but now we're all looking at the preseason one like, who needs that? 888-808-1019. Like, now we're all like, oh, I want to see how they made decisions on the roster. I want to see how they decided to draft guys, how they went about signing free agents. You see the parallels. I was mentioning John Runyon, how that conversation came up, Tyrod Taylor. You know, they talked about what they spent to get Tyrod Taylor to be a Giant. He goes across the street to be a Jet. And we'll see what happens with the Jets. I see in my notes, the Giants have a joint practice scheduled with the Jets on August 21st at Florham Park. That's going to be good. I don't know, maybe Davante Adams will be traded for that week. Davante Adams says, if I'm going to be reunited with anybody, it would be Aaron. Or relocated, or be anywhere, it'd be with Aaron. It wouldn't be with Jimmy Garoppolo. Where's Jimmy Garoppolo now? Buffalo? I think, let me see. Jimmy Garoppolo. No, he's with the Rams. Yeah, it also wouldn't be New Orleans with Derek Carr. That ship has sailed. Davante Adams at 32 years old, he wants to win. He wants to win a Super Bowl. And I don't think they're anywhere near winning a Super Bowl with the Raiders. And unfortunately for them, the back-to-back Super Bowl champs are in their division. 888-808-1019. And the team that they defeated in the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers, I think they're stacked. I think that they got to be the favorite to come out of the NFC again. I think it's another year where Brock Purdy takes a step forward as he's trying to get big money, as he's trying to prove that he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Last night, if you listen to my show, or maybe it was two nights ago, let me go back to my notes. We were talking about the top 10 quarterback list. That was Monday. And for as much conversation as we had last year about Brock Purdy being an MVP, and then on Christmas we saw the 49ers get smacked by the Ravens, and after that, people stopped talking about it. Brock Purdy could be in the list. He could be in the top 10. He's an honorable mention right outside of the top 10 list. And Brandon Ayuk wants out because Brock Purdy only targets him three times a game. And more has come out around Brandon Ayuk, who I was vocal about yesterday. I'm like, hey, stay where you are. The grass is not greener on the other side. Don't you want to ultimately win a Super Bowl? You've been to a Super Bowl with that team. So he requests a trade, and I don't know where he's trying to go. The Commanders, the Steelers, the Panthers. Why? To be a fantasy football player? To get 10 targets a game and have a touchdown every year? I don't know. What I'll say about Brandon Ayuk again, the reason that you find him wide open in the middle of the field is because Kyle Shanahan can draw up plays where Debo's a decoy, Kittle's running down the seam. They got to worry about Christian McCaffrey. And this guy's able to eat. But I think his feelings got hurt. And he's done a ton on social media from his girlfriend talking about, oh, this is the last time that we're going to, like, hey, chill. chill. But it is what it is in this NFL. If he wants out, he wants out. I'm just not sure where he's going to land. And there's a lot of nonsense out there that I also don't believe. There was a Fugazi report about the Raiders and Davante Adams being interested. And I'm just like, I hate the time that we're in, especially now that I have to be on the radio and put notes together. And, you know, my producers don't put my show together. I put my show together every night. So I have to check sources, right? Can't have Ball Sack Sports put something out there and then I bring it to the radio. But I saw a rumor 7 hours ago from JPA Football, and they might listen to this show. And it said the Raiders are a team interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk, and they would send Davante Adams to the 49ers in any trade. And I heard Sean Morash mention this Pretty Ricky account, and it's just nonsense, bro. I just can't, I don't know. Like, when I went to college, we had to have credible sources. If you were to present in front of the class or write a paper and submit it, you had to cite your credible source. And now there's just sources in quotations, and everybody's got a source, and everybody, and I don't know what to believe, but I think that's cap. That's a lie. I don't think there's any truth to that. 888-808-1019. Steve is in Connecticut. What's up, Steve? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's going on?
You know, just found a way to get to you.
Yeah. Huge 49ers and a longtime listener of you. So thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
I think this Brandon Ayuk stuff is a little overblown. I mean, he hasn't been to a Pro Bowl. The 49ers offense works for him. They have to pay Brock Purdy next year. And he's asking for too much. He doesn't have any leverage. The 49ers should just exercise the option, or they could just give him the contract that they originally offered. And not to mention all the other players like Kittle, Warner, Juice, they all took pay cuts for the team to win a Super Bowl next year. I think Brandon Ayuk's being just a little bit selfish here.
Yeah, he posted on his Instagram, you can't afford a Lamborghini, you can't have one. This guy thinks he's a Lamborghini. He's a product of that offense. He's a product of that system. He's a product of the weapons around him. They can replace him. I saw they put Ricky Pearsall on the physically unable to perform
list. On the pup list, right? Yeah.
But this, I think there's a lot of smoke, Steve. And I don't think the 49ers have to budge on it. Hold out. Don't come to camp. Somebody else will take your spot. Ronnie Bell, exactly. Juwan Jennings, you know, somebody else will take your spot. Sit at home and be mad. That you're on a team that does nothing but win and go to the Super Bowl, go to the NFC Championship.
Exactly. And then people did the same thing a couple years ago, and he might be trying to... He maybe thinks he's better than
he's
Debo.
He's not Debo, though.
Man, he hasn't been to a Pro Bowl.
He's not Debo.
I mean...
Debo, they can hand Debo the ball. They can line him up in the backfield. They can line him up in the slot. They can put him out at the X. They can have him one-on-one beat a corner deep. And people can't tackle Debo. He's a different type of weapon. Ayuk, I think, is just a lot of these players getting their heads. And with social media now, these guys are young. Like, I don't know who's in their corners. These guys are young. And they just start to bug out, man. This guy's 26 years old, and I think he just wants more for himself. He wants to be an outright number one receiver. And, you know, playing in the Super Bowl, like I said, not getting enough targets, he's upset. But, you got to rein it in. You got to realize you got to the Super Bowl with this team. This season could be different. Maybe Kyle Shanahan draws up more plays for you. Maybe you do get more touches now. I don't know. I just think it's foolish to try and force yourself out of a good situation. Forcing yourself out of a bad situation, I understand.
Exactly. I mean, all the everything stacked in his favor to hopefully win another Super Bowl, but I don't know, he's just being a little, as you said, his corner might be not having the best interest, and all the yes men around him are probably like hyping him up too much.
Of course they are. You know, from his girlfriend to Jaden Daniels, who he played with at Arizona State. I forget who else he was seen with on social media. It's like, listen, bruh. You are a product of the 49ers. We know you because you play for the 49ers. If you want to get traded to the Commanders or the Steelers or Carolina Panthers, the grass will not be greener on the other side. Good luck. But I definitely don't think that there's any legitimacy to the Davante Adams 49ers Raiders talk.
Exactly. That's just all smoke. I mean, I don't know. Too much stuff.
It's mid-July. There's no NBA. There's no NHL. And MLB is on break. So we are obsessed with the NFL, and the rumor mill is starting, and we are in a time where social media, anybody can buy a verified badge, anybody can hide behind a picture that's not themselves, put something out there, and all of us will run with it. Thanks for the call, Steve. 888-808-1019. I guess it's a football Friday on the Fan. I don't mind. I love the game. I'm about to start shooting some content, Rami. I'm going to have some people come out to a football field, film me throwing some passes, running some routes.
You need some people to catch routes for you?
I
could run a little bit.
All right. I could use you as a receiver, yeah. I was going to get actual, like, guys that played.
Oh, okay, fine. Sorry, my God.
Nah, you could come through. I don't think the video will look as good unless we got guys that are, you know?
Like, well, how about this? When you're running the routes, I'll throw it to you. I could throw it fine.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, you won't be in the video. You just got to make sure that ball is on time.
On target, yeah.
I'll pencil you in, bro. You're in Jersey. We'll find a spot in Hoboken, Jersey City. Man, there's a nice field. What is it? I think it's Union City. The Union City High School field is, like, elevated. The Weehawken field is nice, too.
There's a gorgeous one when you're driving into the tunnel, right, to the Lincoln
Tunnel. That's Weehawken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to get some content up there. So anybody listening that can unlock the gates for me and Rami to run some routes, throw some football passes, and make some TikTok reels, that's my next thing. I'm like, how do I diversify my content? How do I add to my content and not just have videos of me talking on WFAN? I'm like, I'm getting that itch, man. I'm getting that itch to throw the football. Speaking of an itch, WFAN digital team is great. They are doing work, and they have started to put together these quote cards. I was talking about them the other night. I was talking about how, like, a quote card with, you know, Tiki Barber's "You're Dead to Me" quote, it just grows legs and it goes everywhere. And so now, you know, every time one of us say something, it gets quoted and it gets put out there. And if you listen to my show last night, you got the full context where I was saying, you know, a thought that I had looking at Pete Alonso, right? Either way, the quote card goes out there and it says, "This guy probably has a little bit of an itch to get out of New York. A little bit of an itch." And people are adding me. People are like, "This typical Yankee fan doesn't know what he's talking about. How many times do you have to hear Pete say he wants to stay?" I'm like, well, if you listen to the show, which I know you probably didn't, you're just helicoptering in online, as so many people do. What I was saying is, looking at Pete come out dressed like a Texas Ranger cowboy, baby. I'm like, this guy is from the South. He's in Texas. He forced his way into the All-Star game to be there. He's got the full-on black suit, the bolo, the cowboy hat. He's talking about his favorite country singer singing the national anthem. There's an itch that he may never be able to scratch. He might not get traded to Texas. He might not be able to sign with Texas team in free agency. But all I was saying is, I had the thought watching the MLB Network red carpet show that this guy's Southern. He's into country music. He looks the part. Maybe he's got an itch to get out of New York with the subways and the garbage and the rats and the crime. Taking a shot at our own city, which we all love. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm like, he's not from here. Now, I don't think he'll be able to scratch that itch. I think that the way Pete Alonso's playing, I don't know who's knocking on the door to trade for him. I did mention yesterday the Houston Astros could potentially be looking for his services, maybe even the Texas Rangers. But I don't think they're going to change up this lineup, this clubhouse. I don't think that they're going to trade Pete Alonso in 13 days. And then when the offseason comes, depending on how, depending on how his second half goes, I just think that there's no deal that he's going to get on the market that Steve Cohen is not going to be able to match. 888-808-1019. Now, I've introduced the Mets conversation. I did see the Mets still making moves. As I told you guys, I'm like, they have been actively making moves. If you just follow the Mets beat reporters and just go back to spring training to now, like, David Stearns is not sitting on his hands. He's not on break. They claimed another arm. might not materialize into anything, but the Mets claim left-handed reliever Alex Young off waivers from the San Francisco Giants. They assigned him to AAA Syracuse. Young, age 30, had a 3.86 ERA in a full season for the Reds last year. He's been very good in AAA this year. The Mets DFA Tyler J. Tim Healy wrote that on Twitter. I clipped that from my notes. So, hey, who knows if that guy turns into something. The Mets are trying to add in crafty ways because maybe they're not getting the, you know, response from talking to other teams. Maybe they're not going to be able to give up prospects and get the relievers that they necessarily want or need. But David Stearns is actively working on it. He's not passively watching this team struggle, watching the bullpen struggle. I think he's going to keep tweaking and adding pieces. I'm hoping that Brian Cashman and the Yankees do the same. 888-808-1019. So now we have Hard Knocks, the Giants conversation out there. I will go back to the Giants schedule in a minute. We also have the Jets conversation around Aaron Rodgers, his trip to Egypt, Rob Saleh, and how he approached the media, talking about him being unexcused and how that's ruffled some feathers. Here we go. And then even the talk between, you know, John Runyon and Tyrod Taylor and, you know, choosing sides and the joint practice on August 21st between the Jets and the Giants. I know many of you will probably be there. It's fast approaching. Will Daniel Jones be cleared for contact in a month? Will he be clear? I don't know. That's the biggest thing. I know they're showing he's working. I saw the video last week of him throwing, which that kind of inspired me. I'm like, I can go to a field and drop back and make a video like Daniel Jones. I might not have the arm of Daniel Jones. I might not be Daniel Jones, but I can cut up the video and make it look cool.
You got to make a Ben Simmons video.
Why you got to drop that name on us, bro? Like,
He's the king of off-season workouts.
We don't acknowledge.
He makes the best ones.
We're waiting for Sean Marks to get him up out of here, bro. One more year. One more year. Anyway, let me take a call. 888-808-1019. Corey is in Rutherford. Corey, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you guys? By the way, I know you looked at the Giants video, and first things first, Daniel Jones looks jacked.
Yeah, that too.
He not look jacked or what?
No, he's obviously, like, he couldn't run, but that didn't mean he wasn't lifting upper body and training during the rehab. Yeah, he's in good shape.
If you want to throw, I'm a town manager in a town, Bergenfield, New Jersey. We just built a $5 million sports complex, state-of-the-art turf. You're more than welcome to come. I'll give you my contact offline. You're more than welcome to shoot video up there if you want.
Bergenfield. I'm in Jersey City, Hoboken. That's not that far. I would go.
No, it's easy. It's right up 95. It's from your work, from where you are from work, it's pretty close. I mean, the Fan from there, I mean, it's right over to GW. It's close. Right up by Hackensack, Englewood, that area. You want to throw? You're more than welcome. I'll give you the information offline. You're more than welcome to come.
Okay, yeah, Rami, we'll put him on hold and take that information. It's a brand-new turf field?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
state-of-the-art.
Yeah, I'd come check it out. That's over by Dumont, New Milford.
Yep, exactly. Hey, so what do you think about the under-over on the Giants also? I mean, the idea that the Giants are not going to, like, what's the line? Like, six games or five games?
Six and
Is
a
that
half.
Still the line? Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to overperform that this year. I think that they got a little chip on their shoulder, and I think it's going to be better than that.
It depends. It depends on health, and it depends on the other teams. Actually, that's queuing me up to go right back. Thanks for the call, Corey. Oh, I meant to put him on hold. Well, Corey, call back, and Rami will get your information so we can show up to that turf field and throw the pigskin. But you queued me up. I got excited. I wanted to go back to the schedule. So we started talking about week one with the Vikings. All right, let's say that's a win. Commanders, I think you could beat the Commanders getting them early. I mean, the Giants, like, that has been your game. Like, hey, here come the Commanders. Imagine the Giants start off 2-0. Good. You're going to need to start off 2-0 because I don't think you're beating the Cleveland Browns. They're stacked. And if Deshaun Watson is just half the quarterback he was, like, they keep talking about if Aaron Rodgers is half the quarterback he was, like, they have enough talent around him. And even if Deshaun Watson isn't, Jameis Winston, famous Jameis, is lurking. And then you host the Dallas Cowboys September 26th.
And I don't know. I think that the Cowboys are going to start off with some losses. I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be in a space where they just like, they don't, there's so much unknown. Once their confidence gets shaken, I don't think they're going to be rolling like that. Obviously, they have a ton of talent, but there's just so much in flux, so much up in the air. And I think that's a Thursday night football game. September 26th. Thursday night football. I'm going to have to pull up. So let's say you beat the Vikings, you beat the Commanders, you lose to the Browns, you're 2-1. And I don't know. It's a toss-up, but I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys to beat the Giants. Nothing changes until it does. The Cowboys have been beating the Giants. So you're 2-2. The Seahawks going all the way out there to the 12th man. Lumen Field. It's tough to go play out there in Seattle. I think Seattle's going to be decent. I think that's another L. 2-3. Cincinnati Bengals come to town. They're ranking Joe Burrow as the number 2 quarterback in the league. If Joe Thurrow is healthy with Jamar Chase and Mike Gesicki, the pride of Southern Regional, I think you're 2-4. The Eagles next. Oh, this is a losing streak. 2-5. I'm just going to stop there because it's not good. No, why stop now? Here come the Steelers. I mean, by October 28th, Justin Fields could be the starting quarterback. You got to go to P-Town. It's tough to go to Heinz Field, Acrisure Field. They call it so dumb. It was Heinz Field for how many years, and now they call it Acrisure Field. So stupid. I don't think you're beating the Steelers. They've got talent on offense and defense. You're 2-6. And it might be Drew Lock playing. Then the Buccaneers. Rami, you said this was a soft schedule. Buccaneers 2-7. But obviously it's not going to go that way, folks. I'll stop right there because it doesn't sound good. It's not going to go that way. You're going to face somebody's backup quarterback. You're going to face somebody who's just got a bad night. You're going to face someone that's not as the Commanders right after. All right, 3-7. The Commanders, you beat the Commanders twice. Nobody can predict it. Somebody's going to get hurt in preseason. Somebody's just not going to be as good as we think. And maybe the Giants are better than we think. Maybe Daniel Jones is better than we think. Maybe this offense is clicking more than we possibly know. That's what we watch.
I thought the front half of the schedule was, I didn't see the back half. Was the back half
rough? Bro, they have a stretch between the Browns, the Cowboys, the Seahawks, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Steelers. They could very well lose all those games.
Well, AFC North rather is tough. I mean, that whole division was over
500 last year. Three out of those six games are against the AFC North. Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson, or even Justin Fields.
Yeah, it'll probably be Fields at that point.
Dak Prescott, Geno Smith, Jalen Hurts. And the biggest thing for me about football is cohesive units. Teams that have been battle-tested and played together. And you kind of have some new moving pieces and parts. And as much as, you know, like Tommy Lugauer says, Malik Nabers is going to be the best Giants receiver. He's a rookie. He's going to take his lumps. He's going to struggle. He's going to have to go through his growing pains. He's going to have his moments, but he's also a guy that's used to dominating, and when he's not dominating right away, he's going to be frustrated. When they're jamming him, and he's getting jammed, and he's getting double-teamed, and he's looking for Daniel Jones, hey, get me the ball, and Daniel Jones is getting sacked, or Daniel Jones is taking off the run, or checking it down to Devin Singletary. Like, it's not going to be just a straight rocket ship. I'm seeing it now. It's a tank. It's an A shirt. It's a tank top. It's a sleeveless tank. If the Giants go through this stretch and they lose to the Commanders, the Browns, the Cowboys, the Seahawks, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Steelers, the Commanders again, it's Gervonta Tank Davis. And you're looking at college football. You're trying to get Shador Sanders or Quinn Ewers. One of those guys coming out of college football.
Might as well hold out one more year for Arch Manning now.
I mean, you can double up, maybe. I don't know.
Can you imagine if Quinn Ewers and Arch ended up in the same place again?
It would be Archie. I mean, there's a world where Archie plays this year. There's a world where Quinn Ewers isn't getting it done or he gets hurt, and here comes Arch Manning. I know you saw the EA Sports college football
NCAA college football commercial with Archie Manning, right?
Yeah.
So at first it was announced that he wasn't in the game. They weren't going to license his NIL to them. They waited because the Manning family, I need to get their agent. Whoever works for the Mannings, holler at me. I need an agent. I need representation.
We'll get calls of people who pretend they do.
They have the best marketing people because a commercial pops up and it's Eli Manning playing the game. And who's he on the headset talking to? His nephew, Archie Manning, in shoulder pads. And then what does he say? EA Sports, I'm in the game. Yeah, now I'm in the game after EA Sports gives my family some extra cheddar. I wasn't going to let you guys just put me in NCAA football for the fun of it like the rest of these college football players that just want to play as themselves. I'm Archie Manning. I'm on the bench. I'm not transferring out. I'm not hitting the transfer portal. My dad won't let me. I picked Texas. This is a business. Call up our agency. Shoot the commercial. Now I'm in the game. When I saw that, I just laughed. I'm like, they're so good. They're so good at everything. They've got the Manning cast. I mean, we're watching Receiver right now.
Exactly.
Receiver starts. And I forgot it was a Peyton Manning thing. First person you see is Peyton, and he throws it to Randy Moss. They got the Pro Bowl. They coached the Pro Bowl. They're in commercials. Man, I pulled up last year to the Dallas game against the Giants week one, and Eli's like the Pope out there in the parking lot. He was doing something with NBC. They stopped traffic to bring him through. I'm like, yo, I'm trying to film with my phone and not crash. I need to link with the Mannings. I need to link with their marketing people. They got it. 888-808-1019. We're still talking Giants on the Fan. Let's go to Ryan in Edgewater, New Jersey. What's up, Ryan? You got it.
Keith, how are you, man? Big fan. Love your story. I think you do an awesome job, man.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
I'm just going to drop a truth bomb here as a bystander Buffalo Bills fan. You know, Joe Shane came from the Brandon Bean regime in Buffalo. When Brandon Bean took over, he obviously let the first season play out. That's exactly what the Giants did. Came in, let Daniel Jones play it out. New playbook, way better scheme. Couldn't have been a worse coach from the previous guy. And they had success and made the playoffs. Now, the difference of what happened with the Bills and the Giants is what occurred in year two. When you take a role and you're filling someone's shoes, how often do you do something different than what your predecessor did? I think that the same strategy was what the Bills did in Buffalo, what the Giants did. How the Bills let Tyrod Taylor play out. The Bills made the playoffs. Then it was, we're going to trade our guys away. We're going to go find a quarterback. Except it's pretty obvious that John Mara stepped in and said, no, Daniel Jones is your guy. Yeah. And they were forced to sign him. You could tell that these guys are not ecstatic about him. They're talking about him as a $40 million quarterback.
It's insane.
How often do people not say, you know, you see Brandon Bean talk about Josh Allen. We have 17. We have Josh. Anytime you have him, you have a window. These guys are lethargic. They don't really care. And to me, as an owner, that makes absolutely no sense. If you're hiring someone, if I'm hiring, you know, Keith McPherson for a radio show, I'm going to say, Keith, you know, you develop your own topics. Let's see your vibes on the mic. However you want to run the show, it's your show. You're setting it up as it's your business. Why does the owner come in and step in to do such a crucial decision of you have to keep this player?
Because now you're
just delaying this Shane Dable regime now, because if this year's a disaster, then it's draft a rookie.
They were,
and see if that got
they were painted
good, like
into a
said.
Corner, Ryan. You know, that contract is looming over them, but they obviously built a way out for after this year. And they even have the clause with the injury in it. Like, they had some vision. They had some foresight. But, I mean, Daniel Jones went and hired athletes first. And he played it perfectly. They probably wish that they picked up his rookie option. It would have been half the cost, and they would have been able to move on. I mean, they were literally painted in a corner because their first year, I don't think anyone thought that they would make the playoffs, go on the road, and win a playoff game. And the fans would be chanting, Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones. And when John Mara and the powers that be hear that, he's the quarterback. He's our guy. He's proven himself. And then they say things like, we've done... We've done a lot to count against him, or I forget how they phrased it. Like, we haven't done enough to help Daniel Jones. We've done a lot to go against him. And they almost kind of take blame for his shortcomings. So, I mean, with this regime, I really see a future where Daniel Jones is either, and I don't want to wish this on him, he's either hurt this year or underperforms, and then they opt out, and they just have that dead cap number, and they take the hit, and or the $22 million, whatever it is, and then they move forward with Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito or Nathan Rourke, and then they draft the quarterback of the future. They have to. They know. They are projecting 10 years down the road, and I don't think there's any world where they actually think Daniel Jones is their quarterback for the next 10 years. Thanks for the call, Ryan. It is what it is, though. In this NFL, you got to have a quarterback, and the going rate is what it is. You guys hear me crying about what Jerry Jones did with Dak Prescott. I mean, at least Daniel Jones was a first-round pick, 6th overall, and he's going to get the money that he's going to get. And when they came in, what stuck out to me was obviously they brought Tyrod Taylor in, a guy they were familiar with, and you heard Daboll talking about having the same quarterback room with Tyrod. He probably kind of likes Tyrod a little bit better. Tyrod will let that thing rip, push the ball downfield, which you have to do. But the thing that stuck out the most to me was that they tried to challenge Daniel Jones, telling the defense the plays and not telling the defense the plays for Tyrod to see how he would react. Daniel Jones is slow heartbeat, vanilla, vanilla Vic, very plain. He didn't overreact or whatever, and he overcame it. But I don't think they ever loved him. I don't think they love him now. I think they've been painted into a corner. He was there. They didn't draft him. Similar how they didn't draft Saquon Barkley, number 2 overall. They didn't and wouldn't draft Daniel Jones, 6th overall. And I know there were a ton of people trying to draw comparisons to he can be like Josh Allen or a similar skill set. I don't know about that. Josh Allen is a bust. Josh Allen is not injury prone. Josh Allen is looking to stiff arm a linebacker, run through a safety. Daniel Jones, I'm like, somebody's got to teach him a stiff arm or a juke. They're going to take his head off. 888-808-1019. I'm rooting for the guy. I just think it's going to be a lot to overcome. Injuries make a coward out of all of us on the football field. And if he doesn't have his legs under him, his plant leg is where he tore that ACL. It's just a lot, man. I don't know. We shall see, and that's why we watch. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I'm here. Me here, you there? Still rocking, yeah. Keith McPherson on the Fan, your nighttime host, talking sports as the sun goes all the way down and night has fallen on us again. Man, I am watching Caitlin Clark play, and it's not intentional. It's just, I'm waiting for the Bronny James game. Bobby and Belmore filled me in on that one. That's going to be on ESPN. Watch he cooks tonight. Watch he balls tonight. Watch tonight, he actually gets to the rack. I was on Twitter, and I came across this video, and someone was just breaking down the game that he had against the Houston Rockets, and he just kept shooting the ball and not cutting to the rim. And these are basic things. You're not a shooter like that, bro. Take the easy buckets. Even, like, just some of the mistakes off the pick and roll and lack of effort. I know it's just one summer league game. But, man, I feel for him. Not, you know, obviously he's got all the money in the world. He's famous, whatever. It's not like it matters. But I feel for him because I feel like he's in over his head. I feel for anybody that's in over their head. It's sink or swim, and he's sinking to the floor. And they got to do something to protect him. Daddy can't save him. Daddy's over there hooping with Steph and Bam Adebayo. You guys see Team USA? I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. No surprise. If you guys saw Team USA again, like, Fox Sports 1 has the coverage. It's great to just see Steph. Steph had 24 points, 8 for 12 field goals, 6 out of 9 three-pointers made. Bam Adebayo, they were calling him the next Splash brother. Splash Bam, Bam Splash, 17.6 rebounds. And Team USA is going to roll whoever they play. It doesn't matter. But I feel like Bron's got to get with his son. Bron's got to get with Bronny to be like, hey, man. I watched the video again of J.J. Redick saying that he thinks he can be a Lou Dort type. And it's just, that's not fair to Lou Dort. That's not fair to Lou Dort. But, yo, somebody who's getting it in, second round pick, Tyler Kolek. 21 points, 8 assists, 6 for 14 field goals, 3 of 5 from 3, and hit the game winner, and he looks the part. Let's go to Joe out in Las Vegas. Joe, did you go to the games out there? You at the games?
Yeah, I was at the game on Saturday. I was tempted to get tickets for the game today, but I just didn't. And now I'm tempted to go on Friday. But, man, even before they drafted him, I made a Facebook status of, these are the 5 players I would want the Knicks to get, and Kolek was one of them. He's incredible. Have you seen his highlights?
I've seen him on Twitter. Just the way that the kid dribbles the ball, just the way the kid gets to the hoop, his shot selection. It's just like he belongs. He more than belongs. And we kind of knew that coming out of Marquette. I've seen him in Marquette a couple times, but to see it translate mm-hmm. that fast, where we're looking at Alexander Sarr, like, this guy went over, Bronny went over, like, some people, that's why I talk, I'm like, a couple nights ago, I'm like, either you hoop or you can't. Like, some people got it, some people don't. Some people are natural-born hoopers that have put in the work, and when they step on the floor, they're not overmatched. That kid is not overmatched.
No, absolutely, and it's crazy because even within that, yeah, he had some turnovers today. They weren't. I mean, some of them, they could have been caught by the guy. Maybe they weren't cutting properly.
It's the first time these guys are playing together. Yeah, I hear
absolutely.
You.
And the Knicks, they got a couple ball hogs on you know, in their summer league. They could probably clean it up. But also, have you seen Rokas Jokubaitis?
No, I have not.
Have you heard of him?
No.
He's from Lithuania. So the Knicks drafted him in 21. It was like a draft and stash. And this year he said, hey, I want to come to the Knicks if Lithuania doesn't go into the Olympics. They didn't qualify. Next day, he was on a flight to New York.
What position does he play?
He's a point guard, too, which is interesting. I feel like they're gearing up to try to get a center. Yeah, I think Deuce is done. Or they just put him at the 2 on the second unit. But I think the Knicks are going to go all in on a center. And the Knicks have 4 players on the summer league that I could see go to the NBA. And listen, I've been going to the summer league here in Vegas, and this is the first time I've actually been excited about the players ever since RJ Barrett. I mean, that was the only other time I was actually excited about the summer league here. And you know, Rokas today, 16 points, 5 assists, perfect from the floor. I mean, you know, they had Dwayne Washington, who is
now.
They don't have room
for him. The article in Newsday saying he's impressive at summer league, but the Knicks don't have room at guard.
They're going to trade him. Get their stock up now. Yeah, get their stock up and trade them or trade other people. I would say, and I know it's probably unpopular, but I would say the Knicks need to trade Mitchell Robinson and Deuce McBride. And I know that we need a legit center. Not a backup center. We can re-sign Achiuwa. We can use Jericho Sims as the backup. But we need somebody that's not going to miss 30 games at center. So I think that they're going to package a bunch of stuff. They're gonna steal somebody that we don't even expect. It's kind of like when the Giants got Brian Burns. We didn't expect it. It just happened. I think that's what's going to happen with the Knicks with a center position.
Yeah, I would trust.
I think Leon Rose is cooking something up.
There it is. I would trust Leon Rose is not done. And they're not content with Jericho Sims and Mitchell Robinson. They want more, especially if you think that you're gunning for the reigning champion Celtics.
Absolutely. If you have time to catch the Knicks play, I know you're a Nets fan, but the Knicks play again on Friday at 4 o'clock.
Summer league.
I know.
It doesn't matter. I do not care.
We were blowing them out, man. We were blowing them out.
It does not matter. It's not even exhibition. It's lower than exhibition.
I know. It's not even... You're right. But I get excited just because these are the players. Like, Kolek is one of the guys I wanted them to get. That's why I'm invested. Usually the Knicks never get anybody I want. But the way they drafted this year, they end up starting getting, 4 draft picks. So usually I want them to get somebody they don't. I mean, I can't even remember the last time the Knicks drafted somebody I wanted them to get. I don't know if it's ever actually happened.
Obi Toppin. Thanks for the call, Joe. You were ecstatic when they drafted Obi Toppin. It was a great story. 888-808-1019. Quickly here, before the break, I was talking about Daniel Jones, and I guess I couldn't really, like, place the numbers, and I was trying to go get the numbers. So if they would have picked up Daniel Jones' option, which they declined, his rookie option, it would have been $22.384 million. And, I mean, these are just technicalities, and as you're seeing with Hard Knocks, you know, the number crunching and what you could do. Now Daniel Jones has this four-year, $160 million deal, but there's a potential out next year at 2 years, $82 million. And I was talking about the dead cap being 22. Yeah, the dead cap is $22.2 million. And I just think that that's where it's going to go. Like, I don't think they didn't draft him. They don't love him. He's already injury prone. I was just talking to my boy Dre on Twitter, and now I know I got some of these Giants fans activated. And, like, I don't hate the Giants. I definitely did when I was younger. But, like, my boy Dre's like, I see a year where DJ balls out, goes on a tear, and backs them into another corner. You never know, because what would you do if DJ has 28, 30 touchdowns? And I'm like, I said, Dre, you my guy, but in what world is Daniel Jones throwing 30 touchdowns? In what world? I turned on Evan and Tiki the other day, and they were talking about Daniel Jones playing more than 14 games. In what world is that? And I laugh because we can only go off of what we've seen. We can't, like, if you're going to estimate and you're going to guess the future, the best way to measure the future is the past, what's already happened. You can't guess that. This is the year he's going to play every single game, and because he's got the wide receivers and a better offensive line, he's going to throw for 30 touchdowns. 30 touchdowns? Like, oh man, I don't even know off the top of my head how many quarterbacks hit 30 touchdowns last year. Not many. Let me see if I can pull this up. There's not many quarterbacks that get there. There were four last year. Dak Prescott had 36. Jordan Love had 32. Brock Purdy 31, and Jared Goff 30. They all played on playoff teams. They all had multiple weapons and receiving running backs. Like, 30 touchdowns for Daniel Jones? I don't see that. I remember saying, going into last year, once he got the money, the target was 20-25, right? I thought the high end, he could get to 25. I don't see him getting, maybe if he gets to 20 touchdowns and is healthy, then you're like, yeah, man, yeah.
Daniel Jones had a more impactful contract year than Aaron Judge's 60 home runs. Because Judge would have gotten the bag anyway, right? Yeah. Whereas Daniel Jones wasn't...
Daniel Jones's prove-it year, yeah. And he's set for life off of that year where they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, and he went out there and won him a playoff game where they couldn't detach from him. There's nothing you can do after
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Whereas Aaron Judge was going to get a huge contract from the Yankees one way or another, 62 home runs.
Or made somebody.
It bigger, yes.
Or somebody. It's kind of crazy, too, when you look at the numbers. Like, Aaron Judge makes $40 million a year. $40 million is just the going rate for quarterbacks. 888-808-1019. Let's take a quick call about Mitchell Robinson since we were talking about the Knicks. Evan is in Manhattan. Evan, you're on the Fan.
How you doing, my man, Keith?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. So listen, you're my guy, man, because you respect everybody's opinions and always talk about how, you know, you guys with the shows don't know. We don't have a crystal ball like anyone else.
No,
and that's
don't.
Why I appreciate you because, yeah, and that's why I'm going to, like, vent and touch because you should have with the Fan, you should post, like, monthly stats, like batting averages for what all the guys with the shows, like, claim, you know, from Gio to, and I like Loogie, but.
I try Loogie to chill, but I'm like, I've kept count of some of the things, and obviously I've been wrong about some things too, but I'm like, hey. Some of these proclamations and takes have been dead wrong, and we just roll on to the next day and the next show.
Right, but you're the type of guy who will admit it and have a chuckle like that where other guys sweep it under the rug, but they have such conviction, you know, and I like Loogie, he's funny, but, like, you know, day after the trade, we picked up an extra Precious Achiuwa, garbage, you know, like in 2 seconds, that guy helped us to the second seed. Anyway, but my biggest issue is with JR, and I'm going to make a point about Hartenstein and Robinson that I made to him. And so here's what I'll tell you what he said. So here's what I'll make my point first, and I'll tell you what he said, and then you move on. You'll let me know your opinion.
All
so
right.
What I said to him basically is with Leon Rose, who's a terrific. It's almost like pinch me that we have an executive that actually makes good moves. The end of the day, it would have been nice to have Hartenstein back. Did a nice job, good backup center, spot duty when he had it going to the, you know, into the starting role, you know, with Robinson out, and then when Randall came out, he had to do more minutes. It wasn't like he was banking 35 minutes until Randall went down anyway. But, you know, the bottom line is this guy has had 1 year. He was tagged as a role player. He juiced it up a little bit this year. $90 million, and if you read, like $7-8 million he'll make more than Brunson next year.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you. Great move. He can regress back to a role player. So I said he nice to have him, but not to overpay and like that.
You couldn't
said,
pay him what?
We got 2 years.
You couldn't pay him that anyway, but yeah.
You couldn't pay him that anyway, but I mean, if you restructured, even if you wanted to pay him, I don't think they would pay him that, okay? But the bottom line is, now we're sitting with a guy who has the best offensive rebounder when he went down in the NBA. Last 3 years, the best offensive rebounder for 48 minutes. Yes, he's injury prone, but if you remember, Keith, you're a little bit young for this. Remember, you look it up and you know about it. Rick Smits with his like bionic man braces.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Sampson, Porzingis now, these tall stick leg guys, they have their upsides, but they get injured, okay? They don't have a foundation. So is he injury prone? Yeah. Can he come back? And if he stays healthy, hopefully, he can have a great year, and I'll take my chances with him. So what JR said at the end of that, he said, begrudgingly, yeah, I can't pay Hartenstein $90 million, but then he said, but Robinson's garbage. All he does is on Twitter, he's garbage. Let me tell you something. Hartenstein got abused by Embiid in that series, and Mitchell Robinson was giving him fits. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to – he's not garbage. You needed him against Embiid. Sorry, I got to drop you, Evan, and we got to go to break. But to say Mitchell Robinson is garbage, he's a rim protector, he's a rebounder, and against Embiid, he was checking Embiid. I know one can check Embiid. Let me not say he was checking Embiid, but he was playing good defense on Embiid. He was frustrating Embiid. That's why Embiid was trying to take him out and did, pulling his leg. And, you know, when we're so quick, that's another thing about hosts here. We're so quick to call guys garbage or trash. Like, we speak as if we're elite athletes. Mitchell Robinson is not garbage and not trash. And I think that he stays. I think that he's got rapport with the teammates. I think you obviously keep him healthy by having another guy. Maybe they move him, but no, he's not garbage, and he's useful. And, I mean, when he came back, right, part of him coming back, like, Julius didn't come back, but it was like, hey, at least we got Mitch back. I don't know, man. I think we got to just change, you know, some of the just – we're just quick to be like, this guy sucks. This guy's trash. This guy's garbage. Nah, these guys are millionaires. These guys are elite athletes. These guys are there for a reason. They might not – Mitchell Robinson might not have the greatest offensive game, but he's more than serviceable, and he definitely brought value and something to the team, defense, rebounding, whatever it is. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking another break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Call up. Don't go anywhere. BRB.